wondering. I was up to 9 steps and seriously considering adding 2 more. Never mind, Mr. Forearm Tattoo. I had more important things to worry about. The store was supposed to open, I glanced down at my watch, 5 minutes ago. Fudgesicles. I picked up the pace, dodging around obstacles and pedestrians like a high-speed Ms. Pac-Man, breaking into a sweat despite the chilly spring weather. Chloe had been scheduled to open this morning, but she'd called in sick an hour ago. I'd still been in my pajamas, unwashed and unshampooed, enjoying a rare late morning in when she'd phoned to tell me she'd woken with a sore throat and fever. Sidestepping a yawning young woman in scrubs headed for the hospital a few blocks away, I skipped over the leash of an old man's wayward dog while giving a wide berth to a delivery man balancing a stack of boxes. I was moving at a solid clip and making good time until I came up behind a pair of spandex-clad women walking 2 abreast down the sidewalk ahead of me. "Excuse me," I said to the back of their matchy Lululemon outfits and bouncy ponytails. No response. They continued chattering at one another, as oblivious to me as the young man on the phone had been. Apparently, my invisibility wasn't limited to men. I'd simply have to go around. If I made myself smaller, I could just eke by on one side. "Excuse me," one of the women said when my handbag bumped her elbow as I squeezed between her and a parked SUV. "Sorry," I answered reflexively, feeling my face flush with a mix of anger and embarrassment. It wasn't my fault Miss Lululemon had been rudely blocking the sidewalk. Yet I couldn't help the sense of shame that clawed its way out of the depth of my stomach over a small correction from a stranger. My dearly departed mother's voice rang in my head, admonishing me from beyond the grave. "Be polite, Dawn. Say you're sorry, Dawn. Don't get in the way, Dawn." I grimaced and picked up the pace, knowing the sour feeling left by that one insignificant encounter would likely hang over my mood for hours. Fortunately, the sidewalk was mostly clear ahead, and I was able to make the final stretch of my journey down East Randolph without further mishap. I felt a small surge of happiness as I caught sight of the yarn store I'd opened last year. Mad About You was my pride and joy. Of course, I was also proud of my 2 children. And of course, they also gave me joy. But they were both grown, independent humans who made their own decisions these days. There was only so much credit I could take for them anymore. Mad About You, on the other hand, was all mine. The first thing I'd done entirely on my own in my whole adult life. I'd written up the business plan, picked out the property, furnished the interior, with some guidance from my artist best friend Angie, and selected the inventory with painstaking care. Although some of the startup capital had come from my divorce settlement, I considered it fairly earned compensation after 24 years of marriage to a world-renowned pulmonologist who'd spent more time at the hospital than at home helping me raise our children and keep our household running. To be honest, I felt more like a personal assistant than a wife for a lot of my marriage. 2 years after signing my divorce papers, I was still relishing my freedom. My younger son was off at college, and the older one, a recent graduate, was living on his own, which meant I had the house all to myself, and my time was my own to devote to my new career as an independent businesswoman. As I drew nearer the shop, I spied Linda, my most faithful customer, waiting on the sidewalk outside and looking rightfully impatient. Fudgesicles. "Good morning, Dawn," she said with a judgmental eyebrow arch. "You're 4 minutes late." "Yes, I know, Linda. I'm sorry. Chloe called in sick this morning." I unlocked the door and held it for her to follow me inside. As I moved around the store, turning on the lights and readying things for a new day's business, Linda made a beeline for her favorite chair. There was a grouping of cozy couches and chairs by the front window, where people were welcome to sit and knit for a spell when the space wasn't in use by one of the knitting or crochet groups that held their regular meetups at the store. Linda came in almost every morning to sit and visit for a few hours over her knitting. She was retired and lived alone, and I had the sense she didn't talk to many people outside the time she spent in the store. "What do you think, creme brulee or southern pecan this morning?" I asked,